5:06, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Hour number three underway, and that means the arrival of Jeff Cooner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, well, I guess the entertainment's gone for the week. It's over. It's over. Last night we had the grand finale, and that was the speech by Barack Obama. And I've heard everything from it was the worst speech he ever gave to the best speech he ever gave. What did you think of it?
Andy, really, I have a sort of an emotional letdown. It's like, honestly, I know what people say when they say, you know, from a high, like you're on crack cocaine or something, and you come crashing down.
Yeah.
It has been so much fun the last 3 days. I was going to say this to Ann, but she had to get off the phone so quickly, but I almost feel depressed today. It's like, what am I going to do tonight?
Yeah.
Nothing can match what I've seen the last 3 days.
No,
Andy,
kidding.
Really, it was a... I mean, I have to say, in all fairness, it had wonderful cadence. It had some of the soaring rhetoric of 2008. Clearly, it fired up the crowd. The man can deliver a speech. He can read off a teleprompter, and he can deliver a speech. There's no getting around it. However, while I was looking at the speech, and about at the 20-minute mark, I was looking at it, and I said, he's finished. I said, he's finished. He's a spent force. He's become so morally and intellectually and politically bankrupt in terms of any agenda that he has to offer the American people. He's got nothing left. He has fired his bolt. And what we saw last night, to me, was the cheap sequel to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. This was Hope and Change 4 years later, the sequel, and it was not as good as the first movie. It just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't defend the stimulus. He didn't defend health care. Those are his two signature achievements. I mean, whatever you think of them in terms of their effectiveness, I think they're both disasters. But those are his two singular accomplishments, and he didn't even touch them. He didn't talk about his plan for the future. He didn't have any specifics. He just went on some vague vision about 600,000 natural gas jobs, 100,000 math and English teachers, just pulling these numbers like a rabbit out of a hat. I mean, why not just say 6 million natural gas jobs, 1 million math and English school teachers? I mean, it was almost fiction that we were getting, fantasy. And Andy, I have to say, what I found most disturbing by about the 30-minute mark wasn't how vacuous the speech was. Wasn't how he was just basically saying, trust your faith in me, put your faith in me, trust me, wink, wink, I'll give you another 4 years and we'll somehow all make it happen. You know, the more you hope in me, the more hope we'll have in the future. It was the yelling, the crying, the shrieking, the emotion. I felt almost like I was watching a fascist rally in the 1930s, where you have this mass hypnosis and fanaticism in the audience with their faces clenched and their tears swelling up in their eyes and their fists held upward and all looking at him and nodding at everything that he said and getting themselves all worked up, almost semi-hysterical. Really, it was un-American. It was something that you see in third world countries. It's something you see in Venezuela, what you see in Cuba, what you see in Russia, this cult of personality, this almost deification of Obama. And underneath it all was nothing. Mm-hmm. Literally, he talked about two things. There were two signature achievements, that GM is alive and Osama bin Laden is dead. Now, take bin Laden. Yes, he gave the order, but everybody knows the interrogation techniques, the intellectual infrastructure, the intelligence infrastructure had all been laid in place by George Bush. This was not just his achievement. It was that of two administrations and that of our special forces and U.S. intelligence and the U.S. military. On GM, to me, it was almost Orwellian. I mean, this is why I said it was almost getting like fascist-esque, 1930s-esque, the complete and utter lies and mendacity. He didn't save the auto industry. Chrysler was sold off to Fiat. Chrysler is not owned by an American company. Chrysler is no longer an American company. It's owned by the Italians. And as for GM, it actually went bankrupt. Nobody knows this. Except, as Mitt Romney said, it could have been a managed bankruptcy, or it could have been a government propped up bankruptcy. And so the company was just given over to the United Auto Workers. They now run the board. They didn't tackle their legacy costs. They didn't tackle the outrageous benefits they've piled up over the years. The bondholders got shafted, and the American taxpayer is out $35 billion. And Andy, here's the kicker. All night they kept saying, made in the USA, made in America, manufacturing jobs, we don't outsource. Over the last 3 years, as Obama has plunked $35 billion of our tax money and essentially nationalized GM into government motors, they have built six massive car plants. Not in America, not even in Canada. Andy, I swear to you, not even in Mexico. I'd say, well, we have so many Mexican illegal immigrants, at least let the Mexicans have the jobs. Six big, massive plants in China. So our money has been used to prop up GM so that they can build six massive plants in China. And there are no fact checkers are pointing that out. So it has been lie upon lie upon lie. And Andy, when everything is said and done, after the crying, the wailing, the passion, the yelling, the chanting, $16 trillion in debt, today the latest jobs report, we have lost 119,000 jobs in August, 368,000 Americans have actually just left the labor force. We're not going forward, we're going backward. Literally, their slogan is forward. No, we're actually literally going backwards. Yeah. We're losing more jobs. Yeah. Andy, he's got us exactly, I think, where he wants to take us. You keep going this far backward, Andy, we can end up all the way to Kenya.
Yeah.
We can end up all the way to Venezuela. We can end up like Bolivia. I mean, we're already becoming a third world country. Why not just go all the way?
Yeah. All right, I got one more thing for you very quickly, and that was, you know, the evening wouldn't be complete without Joe Biden.
Ladies and gentlemen, My dad respected Barack Obama, would have respected Barack Obama had he been around.
Andy, did you catch it? There was another one where he said, Michelle gave a great speech last night.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it was then actually... he said, no, Monday night.
Yeah.
But she spoke Tuesday night.
I know.
So it wasn't Wednesday night. It was, he did, that's just, but Andy, I got to say this. To me, the howler is, do you know that Joe Biden, to me, was the statesman last night? I look at Jennifer Granholm,
oh my
hysterical,
God. Oh.
Yelling, screaming on stage. Then you have that ridiculous speech by the dear leader, by Obama.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what does it say about a party? That the best speech of the night, the man who actually comes across like the statesman in the party,
yeah,
is the buffoon Joe Biden.
Well, remember, Clint Eastwood said that he represented the intellectual side of the party. Oh, well. What a letdown. No entertainment for the weekend. But,
I don't know what to do, Andy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll talk on Monday. Thanks, Jeff.
God bless you, buddy.
Have a good weekend. Bye. Jeff Cooner of the Washington Times, 514.